Hey, everybody, and welcome back to Horror Film Lovers. I'm your host, Jonathan Moody, and I have a special co-host now that's taking over. So let me explain this real quick. So last year, we did the Horror Film Lovers. We did the first episode with me and my friend Vittorio, then we did the second episode with Vittorio, myself, and Joe Turk. We didn't actually put that one out till recording this the day that we had actually released the last one. So we put that out, and it was The Stuff, 1985 film. And now we're going to be talking about the 2019 film or 2016? I'm sorry, 16 film. Better Watch Out with my co-host Sarah Atkins. How you doing, Sarah?
I'm doing great.
Yeah, so welcome to the insanity that is Horror Film Lovers. You know, are you excited?
I am.
So what we decided to do was I'm going to pick a movie, and then she's going to pick a movie. And we're going to try to keep this like different than 80s horror film podcast, or which is strictly 80s films, obviously. Horror, Blood, and Coffee, which are like more newer stuff, you know. We try to keep everybody up to date more or less on that one. So this one we want to talk more about like ones that we kind of like, or, and since this is going to be out in December, we figured let's do a Christmas themed
one. Let's do a Christmas theme. There's so many different Christmas horror movies, it's hard to pick just one, but I think we picked a nice, like, smooth, like, interesting one, you know. Nothing too crazy.
There are so many Christmas horror films there's not that many Thanksgiving horror films except for like Thanksgiving.
Well, yeah, I was gonna say Thanksgiving.
And there's Blood Rage, and then there's what's the other one? There's Blood Feast or something like that. Blood Nut.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, it was a killer.
Thanksgiving ones, of course, but Christmas. I mean, you have Krampus, you have all sorts of stuff. Rare exactly. Exports is a good one. If anybody's not seen that one, Rare Exports is good. I actually liked the Krampus one.
Krampus one, like the one that was like actually like a real big movie.
Yes, I actually have seen that Krampus one probably like 15 times. Like, it actually was a pretty decent movie.
I really like that one too, honestly. But
the only thing I didn't like about that one was the fact that he wore a mask, like the actual Krampus, so his mouth didn't move or anything. Other than that, it was pretty creepy.
Well, yeah. So, but there have been so many Krampus movies too, like indie films too. You know, Krampus is, I mean, anybody can do a Krampus movie.
Right.
You know,
it's a little played out, but they did a good job on it.
Yeah. So, and that was from the guys who did Trick or Treat. So,
which is an amazing movie.
Yeah, which is a great Halloween movie. So you did a Halloween movie and a Christmas movie. I'm waiting for the Thanksgiving movie. Come on.
Right? You know? Come on. There's a market.
Right. Better Watch Out, I picked. And this is a movie that I feel like, I almost feel kind of goes under the radar of a lot of things. Like, people don't really talk about it that much, or maybe they used to talk about it, but they don't anymore, because I don't really hear that many people mention it. And I rewatched it last night, and I was like, because I think it's like the third or fourth time I've seen it, and I really like it. Like, I feel like this is a movie I could watch every Christmas.
Yeah, it was my second time seeing it, and once I realized, like, oh, wait, I've seen this movie, this is a good movie, it is kind of one of those movies where I think you can throw on every year and not really get bored of it.
Well, it's funny because, like, all right, we're going to do spoilers, by the way, everybody. Like, there is going to be spoilers in this, because there's no way.
About this movie, and you're gonna think you've seen it.
Yeah, because that was the thing, like, with the movie, in the beginning of the film, it's set up almost like a home invasion. So it's like Home Alone invasion, you know, this kid.
Yeah, you have the Christmas feel and the home invasion. That's all you think about at first. Just, oh yeah, it's like Home Alone.
Well, they even
got a little kid involved in it, you know.
Right, and they even talk about Home Alone.
Yeah.
They talk about it because they do the paint flying into the, you know, which was awesome. But we'll talk about that in a little bit.
Yeah,
but see, that was the thing. They talk about Home Alone. You know, it was obviously very much that that was what they were going for. It's like they were going for Home Alone Invasion originally, and then they twisted up that it was not actually.
It did have a twist in it where if you haven't seen it before, you were like, oh no.
But if you have seen it before, then you're like, okay, I remember this.
And, yes. Like, I remember this, and this kid needs therapy.
I know. But, like, seeing it again, you know, like, do you kind of see how, like, freaking evil this kid is?
Yes. When you do watch a movie like this the second time, like, the first time you're, like, it's suspenseful. You're like, what is happening? But when you already kind of have an idea, you think of it in a different way, and you really see this kid for who he is. And this kid was messed up.
Mm-hmm. This kid was really awful, terrible, terrible human being.
Bad kid.
Yeah. But yeah, he was a terrible kid. But you know what? He was a great villain in a way.
Yes.
And the perfect thing is, like, there was hints that he could be like a serial killer, because they mentioned he killed his friend's hamster, like,
yes.
And she had said he cried, or said he cried, but then he like leans over to her and says, you know, he did it to just be fucked up.
Right. Yeah. And that's when you got the vibe that, no, this kid could potentially, like, if he gets away with this, he will definitely murder more people and whatnot.
And he sort of did get away with it. Like, it kind of leaves it open-ended where, like, he got away with it because she, even though she lived, right, and everything, mm-hmm. He had done all the murders and she wasn't, you know, so he like, says... At the end, I don't know if you caught that, at the end of the movie, the credits. Yeah, he said he's going to go visit her in the hospital. Like, Mom, let's go check up on her in the hospital.
Right. You know? So it's kind of you don't know. You don't know if she was able to talk about it or if he got there and took care of it first.
I'm thinking that the writers and the writer and director of this film was a big John Hughes fan. Because I also noticed, like, not only do we have the Home Alone references, which is John Hughes wrote Home Alone, but also we have a little bit of Ferris Bueller's Day Off, where he's trying his hardest to get back into the house before his parents come home and everything, yeah. And he's jumping and he's running through everything, and he's bumping into the reindeers and knocking them over and having to pick them up and hide, and, you know, and then he comes into the, like, there's that suspense of, is he going to get caught? Is he not going to get caught? But he doesn't get caught, and or at least not in that particular time. Who knows?
He did a good job trying to cover everything up. So it all depends if he got to her before she talked.
Exactly. So to go into the story, basically, the film is about a kid. He's got a crush on his babysitter or so, and he wants to impress her. So he stages this home invasion. All hell kind of breaks loose with that. She literally thinks she's about to call the cops. She thinks his friend got killed, Garrett.
He got his friend involved, so his friend was his partner in it, trying to scare her as well.
Exactly. By the way, did you know those two, I don't know how many of the kids are, but the kids were Australian.
Okay.
And they had American accents. They sounded, everything seemed American to me, honestly. But Olivia De Jong, who played Ashley, she was in the movie The Visit, M. Night Shyamalan's The Visit, with the kid who played Garrett. They played brother and sister. So okay. I have to think,
looked a little familiar, so, because I've seen that movie.
Yeah, so I have to, like, wonder how weird it must have been to go from playing, like, brother and sister in a movie to playing, like, this part where he's like, he's saying he wanted to make out with the babysitter at one point, and I'm like,
right, he tried to kiss her at one point.
Yeah,
from going from a movie where you're playing brother and sister to going from a movie where you're, like, being sexual with this person, that's it can mess with you a little bit.
I don't know. Different character. Like, I don't know. They're both really great actors. Olivia De Jong's really gone on to do some good stuff. Levi Miller, who plays Luke, the main kid, he's been in a bunch of stuff. He was Peter Pan in the Pan movie.
Okay.
You know, so he's...
Well, and I feel like I've seen his friend in other movies. The, you know, his friend talked about, because he looked very familiar to me. He had beautiful, striking eyes. And I'm just like, I remember this kid from something.
Alexander and the terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. That's who he was. But he was also, like I said, he was in The Visit with that girl. Yeah. So he's been in a lot, you know, they've all done a lot of stuff. Like, these guys aren't, you know, actors who haven't done anything. Now, hold on a second.
Yeah, but basically he convinces his friend, who this kid thought he was his best friend until he realized he killed his hamster, to go along with this whole gimmick to scare this girl. And then his friend ended up growing a conscience, and, you know, through the whole thing, thankfully, but, you know, it didn't work out for him. But yeah, they tried to scare this girl, and she was tough.
I know. Well, she was scared. Like, she even said, like, you guys scared the shit out of me.
No, she was scared, but eventually when she realized that he was so, I guess, demented, she fought back. Like, she was the trooper through it. And she's, you know, she made it through the end, as far as we know.
Right. That was interesting. The mom and dad were actually pretty famous, too.
I recognize the mom.
Well, the dad you might recognize if you, he was a voice actor, done like Family Guy. I believe, I want to say he did The Tick, but I'm not sure. Don't quote me on that. Yeah,
they both look very recognizable. I've seen them and stuff. And it was a great cast.
Oh, fantastic cast. Like I said, everybody that was in this movie has done a lot, you know? I want to say that, but maybe he wasn't. He was in a bunch of stuff. He was in Scream 3, Emperor's New Groove. He did Kronk.
Oh, you know? Yeah, I know that guy.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know why I blanked for a minute there on who the dad was, but yeah, all you had to say to me is he played Kronk, and I'm like, okay.
That's the voice. Yeah, you can tell his voice, right?
Yes. He's Joe from Family Guy, Kronk, yes. I'm a big Emperor's New Groove fan. I know who Kronk is.
And you said he was, you said Joe from Family Guy?
Yes.
Yeah, Joe Swanson, yeah. So he's done a lot of stuff. Like, this dude is famous.
He has a great career. He is very famous.
And then Virginia Madsen is very famous for being in Candyman.
That's where I remember her from. I've been watching a lot of movies lately with Tony Todd in it. So, that's where I recognize her from.
Yeah, but she's wonderful.
Again, we were saying, like, the plot of the whole movie and stuff. So, yeah, this kid basically decides to scare his babysitter because he likes her and has a crush on her, and it just goes wrong.
Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, when she's basically going to call his parents and end this whole thing, he knocks her the fuck out and sends her down this flight of stairs and ends up tying her up. And, some great shots, you know. But anyway, we'll get into that in a little bit. But to continue with the story, so he ties her up, and then he has plans. Like, he's been planning this for a little bit. He had swiped her phone before her phone was in the fish tank, you know, which the phone becomes in the fish tank when they're running from the quote-unquote robbers, which is actually just his friend, you know, messing around or whatever.
Yeah, he planned to make sure that she had no communication, you know, to reach for help.
Yeah, and on top of that, he had planned that they would both, that basically the character would, hold on a second.
Well, it seemed like he also wanted because he loved her, he wanted to punish the boys who were not good for her. Like the ex she had that broke her heart, you know, he played games, you know, there as well. And then the bad boyfriend who showed up, he, you know, he wanted to get rid of these guys that he thought was no good for her, and wanted her for himself.
Exactly. And he actually, you know, contacted Ricky, the ex or whatever, and told him to meet her at his house and stuff. Mm-hmm. And the guy came early or whatever, but like, that was always like, so he had always had this plan that he was going to like do something to the ex. And I don't know necessarily right. if he was ever planning, if he was going to plan to like mess him up like that. But, and then of course he, ended up because the guy, you know, the guy was there. He ended up, home aloneing him, as he said, you know, taking the paint can. And, I mean, the way they did shot that was just, oh man, that was brutal.
It was very artistic when they did the paint can, because like they didn't really need to show the gore of the wound, which they didn't. The artistic part was mixing the color of the paint with the blood, and they picked a good color of paint. They picked yellow, which mixed really well with the red, and just it oozing together, you were just like, oh. Like, no, this kid did not survive this paint can to the back of the head.
Right. It was pretty brutal. But I loved it. I thought it was great.
Yes.
So, like, yeah, you're right. Because when the paint landed on the ground or whatever, and the yellow just, like, well, you know, because that's what they used when it fell, you know, like it. And a lot of times I caught myself actually, like, squirming still, even though I knew it was coming and the things were coming, I was still squirming, and like I was covering my eyes because like some of it was pretty, I mean, for like a movie with kids, you know, it's supposedly brutal. 12-year-old kid, you know, supposedly, it kind of reminded me of the movie The Babysitter, except where instead of the babysitter being the bad person, it's the
reverse.
It's reverse. And those movies sort of came out around the same time, so it's interesting that they both, you know, somebody thought, oh, babysitters are big now, I guess, you know, babysitter horror films, but both were fantastic films. I love both of them. Actually, if I had to choose one of that, I'd probably choose The Babysitter over this one. And I think it's just because it's got a lot more gore and craziness going on.
I would agree. I think The Babysitter is more horror. Like, this is still labeled as a horror thriller or something like that, but it doesn't have like the gore aspect of your normal horror movie, but it's suspenseful.
Yeah, I mean, and what he does, like the things he does, like he ties up the other guy and hangs him, you know, and then he kills his friend, you know, at the end. It's just insane. Right,
this kid definitely is very serial killer-like, and he just, he was smart. He covered his tracks with a pencil on the door, and, you know, he took a sleeping medicine, and, you know, he covered every basis that he could.
Well, it was so messed up that the friend was, like, still wanting to help him out or whatever. Like, I mean, I know he felt like he was in it, so, like, there was no way to get out of it, you know, but he literally could have. He could have gone at any time.
Right. He didn't actually commit any crimes, and it was kind of held hostage himself. So if he wanted to sneak out and just be done with it, he could have. And he, you know, he eventually tried, but he got shot.
Yeah, he tried, and then that was when his – you know, I guess he was just like, you know, it's over. Because he tried to untie her, too, and everything. I wonder what would have happened had he escaped and gone to the police. Like, how, you know, his, like, you know, like.
The movie could have taken a different turn. Had he escaped and gotten the police, then all of a sudden it would have been a hostage situation. And seeing what that kid would have done to her in that situation would have been interesting as well.
Yeah. I mean, there's a million things that could have gone, because she almost escaped for like a bit, and then she got, I think, shot or knocked down or whatever, and
yeah, she tripped over that trip wire or whatever in the yard that they had used to prank her with in the beginning.
Yeah, I mean, it's just so this movie is definitely something we recommend, like, checking out, especially during the holiday season, because it's just sort of, I don't know, like, I mean, it's got Christmas carols in it, so it definitely has a Christmas vibe.
Yeah, definitely has a Christmas vibe with the whole serial killer, like, nutball kid.
Well, I'm so glad they decided to go that route, too, because I'm kind of sick of Christmas movies where, like, it's a killer Santa or something.
Right, where the kids are the victims and they're scared of these monsters. No, this kid was the predator.
He was the monster, and there are people like that. I mean, like, kids that are going to probably grow up to be, you know, the next Ted Bundy. So, right. You know, and the funny thing is, it's not like he had a broken home or anything. Like, this kid was this kid was just, I guess, a born psychopath, you know?
Right.
I mean, is that what you would say?
Yeah, that's what I would say, too.
Yeah, because he was not, like, his mom and dad were really nice. They did things for him. They had a nice home.
Like, he looked like he had everything he could want, was well taken care of.
Yeah.
But, nope, he's just a little brat.
I know. Like, but it's, like, even more so. Like, it's a psycho brat, you know?
Yes.
Like, he's psychotic. And
I mean, he obviously was a mama's boy. I mean, especially when she's coddling him, you know, at the end. And
oh, yeah.
Which most psycho serial killers, like Bates, you know, like, they have the mama thing.
Well, that actually goes to what Ed Gein, you know, and I think Ed Gein mm-hmm. did have the, because Ed Gein, I believe, was the basis for Norman Bates. But you're right, yeah, all these, like, you know, like, these real life serial killers too have, like, little mama complexes and stuff. You know, I think the Norman Bates thing went a little further than what a lot of people have done, but I mean, I wouldn't be surprised, you know, with a lot of people these days, you know, and their attachments, you know, and everything. But all in all, I think this movie, I mean, was there anything that after rewatching it the second time that you were like, this isn't near, like, this part I don't like, or?
Yeah, there wasn't a part of the movie that I didn't like. I liked the whole thing. And even when I first put it on, within 5 minutes, I was like, oh, wait, I do remember this movie. And I really enjoyed watching it a second time. And, you know, there's some movies you don't like watching more than once, but I feel like I could watch this one every year and still be cringe, you know, when the deaths happen. I think it was done very well. I think the script was well, the actors was well, the creativity was well. I think overall it was a great movie.
Yeah, I mean, you are a horror film lover, so, I mean, watching that movie, I mean, because sometimes you probably look at it differently, you know, when you've seen
right.
so
well,
many
of it. It's not your slasher, you know, it's not your gore movie, like, it's not your typical horror, but it's horror in the aspect of, it's a thriller and psychological and suspenseful, you know, it's a different category than what you would normally think of when you see horror, and sometimes that's refreshing, you know, it's like, it's not somebody chasing you around with a machete, it's demented child, you know, who's just killing teenagers.
I mean, he's chasing people around and stuff like that.
Yeah,
I mean,
but it's not a grown adult in a costume, you know. Right. It's an actual demented kid. So
I think it's sometimes scarier, you know. Mm-hmm. It's sometimes scarier to have, like, a kid as the killer, because, like, look at movies like Children of the Corn, or, you know, because kids sort of, you, when you think about it, they are, you know, what we think of, like, when we were growing up, right? We were kind of told not to do this or not to do that. This is not what you do, right? But any one of us could disobey that stuff. And a child can literally kill somebody if they wanted to. Like, they have the ability to do it. Generally they don't if they are brought up in a good home. And I don't know what would have happened had she not get, like, knocked out, you know, or whatever. Like, I know he would have tried to somehow knock her out, you know, because he needed her to not, you know.
Yeah, he needed to tie her up and keep her from moving around.
Yeah, he needed to make sure she didn't go call the cops or whatever.
Yeah.
She did try to escape a few times, and yeah. I was very impressed in the way.
She used the flashlight, you know, to try to do a signal, you know. Yep. So she tried.
And then she tried to cut the, and she did, she cut the rope, you know.
Yeah.
And even her boyfriend or whatever, Ricky, was just like, if you get out, just go, leave. I can handle these guys, you know.
Right, like he actually, you know, even though he was one of those douchebag boyfriends, he actually cared enough about her. He brought her flowers, and when she was ready to escape, he's like, no, your life matters more than mine. You go and you get out of here. I will sacrifice myself for you if I have to. So that was kind of sweet. He actually did like her.
Yeah, he was a good person. I suppose the other ex or whatever, Jeremy, that guy was an idiot.
No, that guy was a tool.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'm not I was not sad when Jeremy got what was coming to him.
I mean, he was a dick, but I mean, like, none of these guys really deserved any of this. Like,
no, they don't, but still.
But
it
then
was
again,
still one of those deaths where you're like, you weren't really attached to the character because he wasn't in the whole movie. You're just like, oh, this is a jerk boyfriend that she had in the past, and it just happened really quick.
Yeah. I mean, when Ricky came in from the first time, he was just like looking around, looking for her and everything.
He was concerned and he wanted to take care of her, and he didn't even, they made a joke that, oh, no, you can't visit her. She has diarrhea. She's on her period. And he's just like, I don't care. I love this girl.
Yeah.
So that was kind of funny.
Yeah. Like he cared about her so much. He didn't care what was going on with him.
Right. He just wanted to make sure she was okay.
Exactly. And that was wonderful. But then, you know, he did not know that that this dude had other plans. I don't know if his plan was always to tie these people up. But I love that, like, when she got tied up, they played truth or dare, you know, like a kid game, you know.
Right.
With her. And that was awkward as fuck, you know.
I don't know what his original plan was, because his plan from the beginning seemed to be to scare her, and then it just kind of went south. So maybe it was, this is plan B that he just kind of had to set aside.
Maybe there was no plan B. I mean, plan B was whatever happens, you know, let me make this shit up as we go along,
yeah.
Which seemed to be the thing. Except, okay, so now thinking about the movie a little bit, maybe we can figure this out together, but he did, you know, text Ricky to come over before this whole thing went south and everything. So my question would be, what was his plan with Ricky with the home invasion? Was he going to make Ricky to look like the – that might have been the thing.
Right.
I think maybe he wanted Ricky.
Well, I know that she was talking to him all night before while they were watching a movie, drinking the champagne, and he was talking about coming over. I don't remember. Did he text Ricky to come over?
I know
he texted the other one to come over.
Yeah, he did, because he said there's some line in there where she said she was talking to him about Ricky being there, and he was like, okay, fine, yes, I let him know, but he wasn't supposed to come over for 15 minutes.
Oh, you know? Okay, yeah. And
so,
I know,
like, he was 15 minutes early. So,
right. And I know he actually had called the other one and was like, Ashley wants you to come over, you know.
Well, at first, no, but remember what he said at first was, I'm looking
for Ashley.
Calling for Ashley.
Yeah,
and he's
no
like,
Ashley here.
No Ashley here. And then hung up, and he's like, what a moron.
Idiot.
I even actually said that to you, what a moron. And I thought it was hilarious. We both said it at the same time, because he was sort of he was an idiot.
Yeah, no, the second guy definitely was a tool.
Yeah, definitely. But, you know, whatever. I mean, that's the thing with these kind of characters, is you're going to have characters that aren't, you know, aren't the smartest, because it's a horror film. Like, Is that what Geico commercial or whatever, where they're hiding behind the chainsaws, you know?
Yes, that kind of commercial is awesome. Yeah. It just shows that they're stupid. They're like, oh, we're going to go hide behind the thing of weapons.
But it's like, if you're in a horror movie, that's what you do. And that's sort of what happens in this, in a way, like, you know, when people are dumb in this movie, you know. But, like, it's so funny that, like, I think at one point, what's his name, didn't even have the, she didn't have the gun. She had the gun, but it had no bullets.
Oh, yes, because so, a lot of it, I think, was, he was trying to do psychological at first.
What was that?
Well, I think, you know, in the beginning, he was just trying to scare her. So in the beginning, I think the gun wasn't loaded because he was trying to be more psychological with it. And then it kind of turned into more serious.
Well, I think, yeah. So like some of the guns may not have, because there's two guns. There's like the rifle.
There's this, like, shotgun rifle. Or something. Yeah.
And then there was the pistol. Mm-hmm. And she had the pistol when she was pointing it at him when he was going to send down the paint can.
Yes.
And I was like thinking, why didn't he just tip the fucking, if he wanted to save the dude, if Garrett wanted to save the dude, why didn't he just tip his,
kick the chair over,
you know?
You're right.
Like, stood there, and he blindfolded the kid. I was why are you helping this kid? He's trying to kill
Maybe somebody. He was just in shock, maybe he was scared, but yeah, he definitely, like, if he had some guts, could have stood up to his friend and be like, no, I'm actually going to move this guy and we're going to come upstairs and we're all three going to beat your ass.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to save these guys because there is absolutely no reason that you should be tying people up and doing this shit. Like, this was never the plan.
Right.
The plan was to scare her.
Right. And if his friend just had some guts in the beginning, he could have saved everything because he wouldn't have been able to get as far as he did without his friend's help.
Yeah, his friend, I mean, I remember when I first watched this movie for the first time, I literally thought it was a home invasion movie because they set it up in the beginning really good. You think, oh shit, there's somebody out there, and you'd have no idea that it's the friend and everything. Like, you don't know.
Right.
I mean, it was wonderful.
Well, and even when in the description to the movie, when you go to look at it, they don't give away the twist or the secret in the description. You know, they just said home invasion gone wrong or mysterious, you know. So they did a good job of concealing that and letting you watch it and find out for yourself.
Yeah. So if you are listening to this and heard all the spoilers for this movie, including sort of the ending, and you have not seen the movie, you know, like a lot of people try to keep the twist, you know, a secret. And I love that. Like, I didn't know going into this what to expect. I don't think I even saw any trailers for it. I was a little, like, I'm always concerned when so many people say that a horror film is good, because I'm one of those people that sometimes I disagree, you know, or I get bored or whatever. Like, a lot of people are like, oh my God, Midsommar is so wonderful.
I wasn't a big fan of it, honestly.
But my friend Vincent, if he listens to this, he'd be pissed because he loves Midsommar, you know.
To each their own.
Yeah, which is fine. I mean, you know, I'm not into it, but that doesn't mean other people can't be. But like, so many people like something. I'm like, I don't know. Will I like it or not? And this movie is definitely a film that I think most people would get into. I remember that I showed this to my former roommate, and did we finish it? I don't think we did. She needs to watch it again because we were not, you know, she wasn't in the right frame of mind to watch, you know, that movie. But this is definitely a movie I think people should share with other people and everything, you know?
I do too. I think it's a great movie and most people will enjoy it. You can't really go wrong with it.
What would you think what do you think they would do if they made a sequel? Better watch out too.
I would say the kid got away with it and there's another babysitter and he just does even more twisted, demented stuff to her.
Well, he'd be older now.
He'd be a little old. I would make him a little older, like maybe 2 years from now or something, where he's like really hit puberty and he's just a creepy freaking teenager.
Right, maybe.
But then again, I guess maybe he wouldn't have a babysitter, depending on his age. Like, how old was he supposed to be in this movie? Do you remember?
12.
12, so maybe make 13 or 14, you know, where his mom still thinks he needs a babysitter, and this is, like, 18-year-old girl or 17-year-old girl, and, you know.
Maybe. Or I would think maybe just explore him. Like maybe Christmas is his favorite time now because it reminds him what he did and how he got away with it.
Right, but it definitely would go more in depth of his psychological, like, it would pin him in the beginning as you know who he is and what he is and what he's capable of and him setting things up from the beginning or something like that. I mean, like, I think they could get away with a sequel. I mean, they did a sequel to the Babysitter, honestly, which I didn't really like.
We talked about that. I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, you haven't? Okay.
Yeah, my roommate watched it, but she was she wasn't happy with it.
Right. I'm not going to spoil it. All I'm going to say is the budget for that movie didn't seem like it was very big, and the story was just all over the place.
Really? I don't know. Because since it's not a film that we both love, you know, unfortunately we can't do it, but right. Maybe I'll...
It's one of those movies where unfortunately the first movie is better than the sequel. Kind of like, I don't know if you ever watched, did you watch Death Day?
I did. Happy Death Day. Yeah.
Yes. I love the first one, but the sequel, I was severely kind of like, I was kind of disappointed in.
I thought it was okay, but it got a little too weird, I think. It got into time travel and shit.
They did. Sometimes sequels just don't quite work for certain movies, you know?
Alternate universes and stuff, which is fine for some movies. But, like, I mean, if you kind of... The problem I see with that is, like, if there's no hint of that in the first one, then it's kind of like, it feels like, okay, we ran out of ideas.
Now you have a first one that you really liked, and now you're questioning it, you know, because of the second one.
Not really. I still like the first one. I still love the first one.
But I'm just saying, when you get to the point where you have kind of a time travel other, like, thing, dimension in the sequel, but not the first one, it kind of makes you rethink about the first one. But no, I love the first one.
Yeah. I wonder, I wonder, I don't think they'll ever do a sequel to this movie, necessarily.
I don't think they will either, and that's fine, because I love this movie the way it is, and this way I can continue to keep watching it and enjoying it, and, you know, not get a horrible sequel out of it.
So, the director of this film, Chris Peckover, he is in development for doing a horror film called Limbo. It says a young mother whose body becomes possessed by something evil, rendering her a disembodied spirit and a ghost in her own house. Which I feel like, okay, that's kind of cool, but is that like, that doesn't feel like this, the same style or anything, which, I mean, that's fine. I mean, I guess if he wants to do something different, you know, but usually filmmakers try to stick in the same kind of style their next film, you know, like, because, you know, when you look at the films that, like, anybody does, you know, John Carpenter, you know, he's got a specific style or a specific thing he does. You can tell that's a John Carpenter. I don't know if Chris Peckover will have the same effect, you know, when he directs, you know, but this we'll see. You know, when that comes out, whenever that comes out. It's kind of sad when filmmakers don't make anything, you know, for years after the movie that kind of helped them out a lot, you know?
Right.
I mean, I felt like this guy should have been making another movie right after this, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe it didn't do as well, you know? Box office-wise and stuff, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that could be. But I did enjoy it, and I do recommend it.
Yeah, definitely. So with that, we just want to talk about real quick, just kind of let everybody know what's kind of the future of the show is going to be like. As I said before, Sarah and I will be alternating episodes. So We'll have like, you know, this was Better Watch Out. Next month, I think you had it planned, right? You had like...
I'm pretty sure I want to do Pet.
Pet.
So if you are watching this and you are going to tune in next time, go ahead and watch the movie. And then that way, as you hear us talking about it, you can be right there along with us. Be like, yeah, you're right. That part was like this. Which Pet I watched on, I think, Tubi, but I also think it was on Amazon Prime. It's mm-hmm. on a few platforms, and it definitely was suspenseful and had a twist of its own, and I thought it was a great movie. So great that I think I watched it twice in one day.
Wow.
So because good. I had to share it with somebody else. I watched it by myself, and then I my roommate was like, what do you want to watch? And I was like, I have to show you this movie. You have to, so we could talk about it.
That's like, awesome.
I thought it was a great movie. And then again, that movie is just called Pet.
I have not seen it yet. I'm planning to see it, right before we do this.
We're doing it, so it's going to be fresh in your brain.
Yeah.
And I might rewatch it again with my friends and show it to them. That way I could be fresh in my mind as well.
Well, it's always good to watch movies with your friends to kind of get, like...
I love showing my friends great new movies, you know? And I hope they appreciate that.
Yeah, some people... will give you like a critique about it that you never thought of, you know, or
right.
whatever.
And you spin, they'll notice something a little different. All of our eyes catch different things in these movies. I mean, I'm a nut for continuity.
Man, yeah, you definitely should be on the show when I have my buddy Paul on for Indie Film Cafe.
Paul's continuity as well. I'm the same way.
Continuity. You know? He has a monkey. He squeaks a monkey. This is my monkey. This is TNA. Yeah. This is TNA monkey.
Oh, every time something continuity, he squeaks it?
Yeah.
That's adorable.
But this one's TNA. This is whenever there's TNA, you squeak it.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. But yeah, no, he squeaks his monkey whenever there's continuity error. when he watches it. Which in a lot of these movies, there's a lot. There was none in Better Watch Out, as far as
I noticed. Nothing that stood out to me, you know? Right. And I normally notice these things, and there's nothing I could think of that just, and maybe because it was so suspenseful and I was so into it, and that's a good thing that I wasn't focused on anything like that.
Yeah, it could have been a lot worse, you know, but that's the thing. You look at it and you're like, oh, is it, how is that? And for me, I thought they did very well. They kept my attention completely, and I didn't see anything or notice anything that was odd or weird or different. So just to give people a heads up, so this is in December. In January, Sick Flick TV comes out. That's our Roku channel, so we're really excited. There'll be a Indie Film Cafe section that'll have some of the videos that we've done, but mainly it's going to be like movies or horror hosts, things, you know, anthologies, things like that. So that's really cool. So look out for that. And the next episode will be when will be recorded in December, but will be actually put out in 2021. So that's insane to think. Like it'll be in a year. It'll be out. You know. So it's crazy. It's gonna be a really fun year. We're gonna have a lot of content for Indie Film Cafe. That's our plan, and so we're gonna do I think 10 episodes of this, and then in 10 episodes of a bunch of other shows. So you'll get lots and lots of content coming up. Get ready for that. What are you most likely, you know, like looking forward to in the next year for like horror wise?
Well, I'm hoping a lot of people had time, you know, during, you know, lockdown to just sit there and make content, to write scripts, to come up with ideas, you know, to explore all this. So I'm hoping we get a lot of new, you know, great ideas and great movies out of it. You know, everybody can't really film a whole lot right now, but hopefully next year we can get back at doing all that. I think hopefully we'll have a lot of great pieces coming out of it. So I'm interested to see. I there probably will be way too many COVID related horror movies, but hopefully there'll be more than that.
I think there was. Did we have this discussion before? I know I had a discussion with someone.
I think we've had a discussion before, because everybody is always going to joke about that, the amount of movies that they can make because of this, you know.
Well, there was a movie, I believe it's called Host, you know, that's on Shudder, and it's a Zoom movie or whatever, Zoom horror film. Mm-hmm. And I want to see that at some point and see if it's any good, and maybe it'll be.
Yeah, I'll have to watch that one too.
Yeah, you have Shudder, right?
I don't think I do, but I should. So I'll probably get that soon.
It's only like $5, like a month. Yeah. We are not sponsored by Shudder, but if Shudder wants to sponsor us, we're okay with that. But we will say, like, I spend $5 a month on Shudder, and it is definitely well worth it, because they have a lot of content that's not on Tubi or Amazon Prime or Netflix or, you know.
Yeah, other streaming services.
And some of their own original ones have, like, The Critters and
stuff like that. Yeah, and I love Critters.
Yeah.
Actually, I was wanting to watch all the Critter movies the other day, and I don't have my copies anymore, my hard copies.
Oh.
But I went on Amazon, and they wanted to charge me for them, and I was like, I don't want to rent them. Like, I've seen them a million times, but yeah, if I could pay just $5 for Shudder and watch them all, that would make me happy.
Well, I don't know if they're there, you know. I know the new Critters stuff is, but if you go on, like, Amazon.com, they do have, like, a Critters, like, set that has, like, 6 Critters movies or something, or 5 Critters or something.
Yeah. There's 4 original ones, and then there's, of course, the new series, the TV series, and then the new movie, which the TV series I actually didn't think was horrible, but the newest movie was, it was questionable, but I am definitely a Critters fan. I mean, Critters 3 was Leonardo DiCaprio's first movie.
Yeah. It's so weird to like think, like, a lot of these movies, these people are like, it's right. Their first films, like, it was like Jennifer Aniston, wasn't she, in like Leprechaun?
Yes.
Oh my god. So yeah,
it's crazy. But anyways, I know we're getting off the topic, but
No, not really, because what I wanted to like address is that with horror film lovers, we are gonna like probably do older, like, sort of older films.
Right.
We'll try to stay away from movies that are in the 80s, just because I want to keep that all for horror film or 80s or 80s horror movies podcast. Right. But aside from that, I think, you know, let's keep it, you know, going for let's you know, explore not just the newer semi-newer stuff, you know, but like other things too. So you know, I love this. Like, I can't wait to kind of dive more into what this is all about.
Right.
So, and with that, I think we're going to be about to wrap up. What have you been up to lately?
Not a whole lot. I mean, I've been having some time on my hands, so I've been trying to watch movies, but you know, I'm just was in the middle of a move. So, you know, I'm just now getting all my stuff together, but lately, yeah, I've been trying to find some good movies to watch and just, you know, kind of relaxing, but not really up to a whole lot right now, honestly.
Well, that's okay. You're part of this, and I think we've got you on a few of the other podcasts too, whenever you pop in.
Yes, I have been on a few of your other podcasts, and I still have my Instagram, you know, the Official Virginia Church, and I'm still trying to do a little bit of modeling on the side and bit roles and movies and stuff, which I have you in the future with that. Mm-hmm. But because I've been moving, I've kind of been putting things on hold, but I really hope to get a space set up soon and creating more content, maybe a YouTube channel. And like I said, I'm on all social media platforms. I'm on Instagram, Twitter, I have a Facebook page all under my screen name, which is Virginia Church. And I even sell horror movie action figures for all you horror movie nerds out there. And that's the Devil's Toy Box. And I'm on Facebook, and I have an eBay store as well. So look that up and you'll see a lot of cool horror stuff.
Nice. I'm excited for you. You got so much going on right there.
I do.
Which is good. And yeah, I can't wait to work with you. We've got something really cool planned. So we'll be talking more about that later, you know, down the year. And yeah, so that's about it, I think. If you guys enjoyed this podcast, let us know. Tell us what you guys think, and also tell us what your like favorite scene in Better Watch Out is. So
right, discuss the movie. Tell us what you like. if there's anything in particular like you want to shout out, like, we want to hear it.
Yeah, so check us out on indiefilmcafe.reviews, check us out on indiefilmcafe.podbean.com, and check us out on patreon.com/ Indie Film Cafe, where if you donate $1, well, it goes to help out the podcast. But also, if you donate $1 and we get 5 people to donate $1 each, I will, for $5 basically extra than what we already have, I will watch a really bad movie that Paul's been begging me to watch and begging me to rewatch, because I've already seen it. It's terrible. I hate it. But I will watch it if we get paid. And then for $10, I'll watch I'll watch 2 of the really, really crappy ones that I don't want to watch.
So for your tips and money, you're gonna suffer and sacrifice yourself to watch these horrible movies.
And then review them. We're gonna review them again and talk about them and everything for only Patreons. So anybody, mm-hmm. patrons, the ones who actually just do that, they'll only get a copy of that. So you'll get a little inside, you know, thing. So anyway, awesome. Yeah. So if anyone wants to donate $1, you know, that's all it takes. If we can get 5 people to do that, I will gladly, you know, I will gladly get tortured. You know, trust me, it is torture. The one that we have planned is the first one we have planned is called Actium Maximus, and that movie is just garbly gook. You know. Ridiculous. But it's, you know, it's a whatever, you know, like it will be part of this. So anywho, also another thing that I want to mention before we go is that our plan also, or my plan, I don't know if I even told you this yet, Sarah, or not, but mm-hmm. for the show is also to have like guests on the show too. So other people have either been on my other podcasts or people that are in the film industry or whatever, you know, who want to come and talk. You know, there could be more than one other guest and whatnot, but the more the merrier. Or
yeah, exactly.
The more the scarier.
The more the scarier. Yeah. I think we have the same train of thought there.
Yeah, right there. I actually got that from, there's a really great documentary called American Movie, and it's about a director, and he actually made movies. The More the Scarier, I think, was from the Angry Video Game Nerd.
Hmm.
Yeah, he used to make movies, short films and stuff. But anyway, we're off track, like, you know, everything.
So I know, we could talk forever. But
we definitely could. If you could hang around after, that'd be great. And
sure.
Thank you guys all for listening. I hope you guys enjoyed it. And check back next month.
Yeah, thank you.
Bye.
Bye.